I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum wheat. Back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again. Thank you, Gene, and thank you, Richard, for that song. Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. How appropriate. I love my producer for choosing some of our song cues, and that was a great one. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallen, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is my guest for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor of Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 7 years. Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and are the proud parents of their firstborn son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, always a pleasure, and welcome back from your road trip.
It was quite a trip. At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they had an exhibit for the Grateful Dead, and the title of the exhibit was The Long, Strange Trip. And I took a picture of Arnie under that banner, and I thought, that's an apt title for what we went on as well, The Long, Strange Trip. But I will tell you a lot more of it. I think you're looking at some of my pictures right now on my Facebook
page.
I am.
Boy, the access we have online, I'm looking through your album here, amazing shots. I'm going through the tattoo ones right now.
Yeah, you like a lot of those tattoos?
Amazing.
You getting some inspiration for some new tats for yourself?
Boy, they're covering a lot of acreage on their body.
I tell you, you just got a picture. You see what I'm wearing? You know, I was the odd man out. I'm in there, you know, wearing my golf outfit and a baseball cap. And if anybody was out of place in that particular environment, it was me. But I had the time of my life on the whole trip and going among those characters. And that's, I mean that in the nicest way, actually. They were just absolutely friendly and engaging and exciting, and it was fun. So I can't go on anymore without getting the update on baby Judah Andrew. How is he doing both emotionally and health-wise?
Well, thanks for always asking. He's doing great. He's 4.5 months old, and actually tomorrow we're going to be taking him to a doctor. We've been exploring this option, but he's have you heard of this? How kids, because they sleep on their back to avoid SIDS,
mm-hmm.
Develop often flat spots on the back of their head because they spend so much time on the back. And so actually tomorrow he's going to be fitted with a helmet that he'll have to wear for 8 weeks. And I'm thinking we need a BruceSallen.com sticker to put right on it, free advertising.
Yeah, I like that idea. I thought that the I wasn't too aware of this. I know that kids' heads are incredibly soft, and that there's a spot at the top of the head, the crown, that doesn't in the skull that doesn't close fully, so that there's a little risks there if they got God forbid get hurt or hit. But I didn't know about this thing. This is new to
me. Yeah, it's very interesting. So as their brains grows, you know, as in the early months, and their skull is so soft and developing, the brain will grow away from any pressure that is placed on the bones. And so literally if his head is on has the pressure in the same spot on the back, the brain, as it expands, will push the bones out everywhere else other than where that head is resting on the firm mattress. And so then it creates a soft spot. So this helmet then just creates some space for then to fill out. And so you'll see some photos.
Wow, very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
But otherwise, he is doing fine.
Doing fine, and supposedly he won't even notice it. He's so young. It'll only be for 8 weeks. It'll be great.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't expect it'll be a problem. And they probably have these things fitted so well that they're not uncomfortable.
Boy, and they're lightweight, too. You know, you look at them, you think they're heavy, but it's great.
That's
nice,
excellent.
And easy.
So today's topic was inspired by a column, The Longest Day, but I think what's more relevant, and I'd really love your perspective, given your job at the Calvary Church with teenagers, is how complicated and overwhelming our lives can be these days. All the tools that we think help, in my opinion, just add to the complexity of our day-to-day lives. So I'd love you to speak to that, not only for yourself, but in particular the kids that you're encountering, high school kids that are preparing for college, and all the pressures that they seem to encounter. What is going on?
Well, yeah, you know, the word you just used, complex, I think is a great word to describe it because, you know, today in 2012, there's not more minutes in the day than there was, let's say, in 1982, 30 years ago.
There are if you sleep less, and that's the problem Wayne was describing.
Yeah, exactly. And so here you've got people getting up earlier and staying up late, of course, to try to get more stuff in. But even in that time, there's a complexity, not only among parents, but among teens. So I'll start with the teens, and then we'll talk about the parents. So I've noticed as I've worked with teenagers the last, it's almost been 10 years now overall, in addition to my role at Calvary, the amount of classes that they have in a day has expanded. Have you heard of zero periods?
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting even before their zero period that, let's say, starts at 7 a.m., they're going to...
I drop my son off at school at 6:50 in the morning.
6:50. Now, some kids, before they even get dropped off at school at 6:50, have water polo practice or hockey practice, and that starts 4:30, 5:30 in the morning.
And those are every day.
Every day. This isn't once a week. And in addition to that, they're trying to keep updated with what their friends are doing, and they're updating their Facebook and their Instagram and all these things. And there's so much complexity. Right before I went on the air, a high school student ran over, opened my door. I've since locked the door so I won't get distracted during this time on air, but she says, okay, I've got 30 minutes. I've got to find this and this and this. I've got to go to class. Can you help me? I don't know what I'm going to do. And she kind of threw this note on my desk of things she needed help with and then took off. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm looking at this list of things she needs to get, books she needs to check out. She was asking me to help her check out books from the library,
wow,
to get some sports equipment. It just, and the look on her face seems so frantic. Boy, and that just happens every day. It's not a rarity anymore.
Hmm.
And so then I see parents, of course, as they quickly become less of a parent but more of a driver, driving them from sports practice to tutoring to this to that. I meet with a lot of families who the parents are so frustrated because all they do is feel like they just cart their kids around from one thing to the next, and they're trying to juggle one kid and his schedule with another kid's schedule, making dinner.
You know, the only part of that that I found, because I had to do that a lot before the kids drove, I found that taking my laptop with me, because a lot of what I do on a computer in the form of writing. So if I was going to go somewhere, what was so frustrating for me in the driving part of parenting is I would drop my kid off somewhere and I'd have to come back in an hour.
Mm.
Or 40 minutes, or an hour and a half. And it wasn't quite enough time to go back home. So the only option really seemed to either go to a nearby coffee house or literally just stay wherever it was, whether parents were welcomed or not, and nap. Or in my case, I would just get work done. So I brought my computer and I would write. And so I found actually those times to be productive. But again, it's no downtime. There's no downtime. You're always... The to-do list is never done. It's always to-do.
Yeah, and especially if you're hooked into Twitter, social networking, whatever it may be.
I don't know from that stuff.
Not at all. Yeah, you can't relate. But you know how it is. You're constantly receiving this steady trickle of information that comes in. You know, that blue glow next to your bed. You might wake up for some reason, you know, middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's my Twitter feed doing?
Right,
you go
right.
On to that.
Or check your email.
Yeah.
You know, the words that I used to describe what I was feeling, after a few days on the road on this particular trip, I was drinking a lot of coffee for obvious reasons, but there was so much going on between the emotional context of the trip, the actual logistics, some of the problems we had, and not knowing where we were staying or ending up on many given nights. I was not sleepy very much, though both of us took turns driving, both of us took turns napping in the car, but I found I was on what I called sensory overload, and that was the best way I could come up with of describing it. I had sort of a high energy, but I did my radio show from Cleveland last Thursday, and feedback has been that the show was fine, but I felt I was really scattered. You were my guest, and I just felt that I was changing topics on you willy-nilly, and thankfully you've been with me enough that you just went with the flow, and Les Carroll, my station manager here at KZSB AM 1290 in Santa Barbara, he said, "Ah, you sounded fine." But I don't know. I just feel I was on sensory overload, which I still am right now because I just flew home last night.
And to add on top of that, the emotional overload, off your son to college.
Well, I discovered that is, in fact, the cure for the empty nest. You drive your kid cross country. You cover 3,000 miles in 8 days in a car, you will be really thrilled to say goodbye.
And to come back home to the peace and quiet and everything. I know.
And this week's Because I Said So comic strip is called The Cure for the Emptiness Blues, because I did discover it. What was happening, ironically, the last day or two with my son was after the trip was over and I spent 4 days in Boston and moving him in, and or he did the moving. I did very little of that. But helping him get settled and going to the orientations, we started to kind of reconnect as father and son. And at the very end, we definitely, you know, we're feeling a little melancholy, but I was still ready to leave at that point. Anyway, listen, we're nearly out of time, Pastor Drew. We went over because I wanted to have a little bit more with you. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, and are you blogging yet?
I need your help. I got to hire you, but right now I'm just on Facebook.com/SurferDrew, and I got some great photos that I'm putting up.
All right. Well, you know my fee for you is a whopping nothing. So anytime you need my help just invite me over for coffee or whatever, and I would be happy to get you going again, because your wisdom is valuable. And you're not getting it out there is just a loss to people.
Yep. So I appreciate it.
I mean it with all my heart and soul. So listen, glad to be back home, glad to talk to you, and give my best to your family. And we will be back with some more after these messages.
She messed around with a bloke named Smokey. She loved him though he was cokey. He took her down to China.